feel like he's like trying to be a villain with a like a mustache villain. It's weird that he leaves as Vince McMahon the rapist and comes back as Vince McMahon the villain.
The Diddler. Walt Diddler. That's the best name for him. He came in, you would hope he came in twirling his mustache. I'm pretty sure he came in twirling his penis and said, send the divas my way. Damn it. That's good
shit.
He
was just whistling zippity doo-dah while he did it.
I got no qualms against like,
gobble, gobble, goddamn.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's... all right, take two. No, you know what? We're keeping it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, keep it. It's Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. And I don't know, man. Did anything really happen in wrestling? Do we have a lot to talk about?
I was hoping when you introduced me, I would have time to just go, so I do anything this weekend?
Or? We got anything going? I mean...
Is there a reason we're here?
Is there a show, maybe?
I heard Jay White signed with AEW, so that's...
I heard he was going with WWE. I think, you know...
He was looking at some options. He was looking at some possibilities. But yeah, I think at this point, after his debut, the consensus is that he's probably going to go with AEW.
The jury's still out on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course... and I am Mr. 100, CCW, blah, 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 you know. With me, of course, we have... I'm trying to give my credentials so people can take me seriously as a wrestling journalist. Because I'm not like these Sean Ross Saps. I'm not like Dave, you know, Meltzer. I only went to college for journalism. So with me, of course, I have the original general manager of Cape Championship Wrestling and mustache aficionado, Hunter Hendricks, Double H.
The Edge is a shanty town filled with gold seekers. We are fugitives, and the law is skinny with hunger for us. I fucked it up. Damn
it's
it,
okay.
Never mind.
It's okay. So we watched the Super Mario Brothers movie today. We'll give a full review of it tomorrow, but there was one quote in it that really fucking got me. At the end of the film, the little blue... I forget what they're called. They're from Galaxy, and I forget what they're called, but... The movie ends, and
the little stars, little star guys,
like Loom.
Yeah, I can't think of the name.
Lumens, something like that. He appears at the end of the movie, and he says, "Well, that's a happy ending." And then he looks sad and goes, "Or is it? Because now it's over, and all that's left is you and the void." And I'm like, "What the fuck?"
Yes! Oh, I'm so excited. We're going to see it next Monday. I'm very excited about this movie.
That little star cracked me up the entire time. There's one part, another
you
part. I almost put this on my Facebook because Luigi at one point asks, "How long have you guys been in here?" When they're all in cages, and he replies, "Time, like hope, is an illusion." I'm like, what the fuck? I love that little guy.
I'm starting to think maybe Charlie Day had a little writing credit on this show too. That sounds like some Sunny shit right there.
Speaking of hope being an illusion.
Oh my god, yeah. I was just going to say, we're going to see the D&D movie tomorrow. It's a very movie weekend kind of slash for us. So we're going to see D&D tomorrow in the afternoon, and then Mario on Monday. We got a big break from work coming up here, so...
Very good.
Very excited about both of those things.
Well, we'll probably have a very big break from professional wrestling soon because, or at least WWE. Here's, before we get into the meat and potatoes of it, it's not going to be a super long show tonight. We did that last week with Ace and Dalton.
Right.
So, but WrestleMania was over the weekend. We got a lot to say about that. And then we're basically tonight, we're going to be talking about WrestleMania, and we're going to be talking about the Vince McMahon Endeavor rapist fallout. So,
yes.
Before we do that, though, we are going to start the show off, as we normally do, with the thing we hate most in professional wrestling this week. And I thought it was going to be Vince McMahon. I thought it was going to be everything going on with WWE right now. But it's actually, I think you potentially may have heard of this story over the last week. But the thing I hate most in wrestling this week is Rick Steiner.
I definitely heard something. What it was, I don't remember exactly, but yeah.
So there is a TNA star named Giselle Shaw. Now, Giselle Shaw is transgender. So she was at, I believe, she was at a convention over the weekend for WrestleMania weekend. And as she is walking to like her booth, some guy starts yelling at her, calls her a man, says she's ugly. I mean, just like insulting, you know, like insulting, transphobic nonsense. She said she put her head down and just went forward. She didn't want to, you know, listen. She didn't want to give this guy any attention until I guess someone else mentioned it or someone else had a situation or something happened to where she went to go confront the person that said this to her. And it turns out it was Rick Steiner, which is surprising because Rick always seemed like the better of the two Steiners. I guess until you, I don't know if you've ever listened to some of the stories that have been told about the Steiner brothers throughout the years. Like Eric Bischoff, I think one of the stories he told when he first met the Steiners is they had like a backstage worker bound and had like fruit shoved up his ass. I'm not kidding.
What the hell?
I'm not kidding. They were notorious for trying to... It's like that part from It's Always Sunny. You're going to be, you know, for years, you're going to be talking about how much shit you got shoved up your ass, Four Eyes. That was what the Steiner brothers were doing. So I guess Scott was always the most, the more outspoken of the two Steiner brothers when it comes to saying dumb shit. But apparently Rick Steiner, not only is he kind of trashy, but apparently he's a transphobe. Whereas I heard Brian Last say on Jim Cornette, because Cornette, of course, talked about it and... I think I got what he was trying to say, but it was wrapped in a bunch of just very stupid things he normally says. But Brian Last said, you know, it's not transphobia because no one's running from the trans people. It's trans hatred.
Right, you're not afraid of them.
You're not afraid. Yeah, well, they probably are afraid of them, to be fair. But but they're definitely not running from them. They're being hateful and hateful towards trans people. And it's disgusting. And I always thought Rick Steiner was the better of the two. But, man. That's pretty disgusting, Rick. So, congratulations, you piece of shit.
Got Braun to hang our hats on, perhaps. Maybe he'll be the one.
He's certainly looking more orange as the days go by.
He turned heel, apparently, on NXT last night. Which I think is funny because Carmelo Hayes was still very much a heel, but people liked him so much that now that Braun just started attacking him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's double turn, which is not terrible. I don't hate that.
It's not. No, there's a lot of things I hate in wrestling this week, but that's not one of them. What about you? What about you? You want to join in on the Rick Steiner hate?
Oh, well, yes, absolutely. But, you know, hate. But I got a dumb one for you that we're going to use to segue to a certain degree into WrestleMania. I hate that when it was revealed that it was KSI in the Prime costume in the Logan Paul match, that I thought it was R-Truth. And then it wasn't.
My God, Hunter, that is so common because I did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I really hate for this to come across as like, oh, it was a black guy. He thought No, I mean, again, the cutout of his face, this guy's face.
It looked a lot like R-Truth.
He was doing an R-Truth face. He had the big eyes. He looked shocked. He was grinning. Like, it very much looked like he was trying to do a I don't know why I'm here and what I'm doing kind of thing. And then the announcers go, that's KSI. And I go, oh, can it not be?
Oh, dude, when they announced it was KSI, my first thought was, who is that? Because I don't keep up with this shit. So I vaguely knew of the dude's existence.
I only knew through my workplace.
Yeah.
Some of my coworkers know who KSI is. So I was informed very quickly that he's another YouTuber and a boxer and all that. I mean, I hate to, again, reduce it to this, but he's kind of like just Logan Paul, but he's black.
Yeah,
like they don't really do a lot of different stuff. They made their money on YouTube. They boxed each other. Now they're buddies. They're business partners or whatever. That said, the dude, he took a hell of a little bump.
He killed it. Kind of funny. It was,
of course,
a lot
he's
of
in
fun.
That big padded suit, so I'm sure it didn't hurt at all.
No, but the timing on it was like timing was perfect. Good. Yeah, and
and credit to Seth Rollins, I'm sure, for some of that too. But it was good.
And we'll use that. We'll use that to segue into our thoughts about.
Yeah.
WrestleMania. WrestleMania 39 took place over the weekend, two nights. And I said it last night, but in case you don't listen to plays, because why would you?
Come on, man. What did Cody ever do to you?
No. I mean, as wrestling fans.
I know.
As wrestling
fans.
I know.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Night one, I heard this described as night one was that amazing feeling when you get back together with the ex-girlfriend that you loved and missed so much. And then night two is when you remembered why you broke up in the first place.
Night one was an amazing Triple H NXT takeover Night two was business as usual for the past 20 years.
And it got worse going into Raw. I don't want to like cover every single thing piece by piece because we'll be here forever. No. But
I think a lot of these matches we can easily just go, hey, Theory and Cena was good. It was fine. Cena looked a little weird. Me, he's very much in Hollywood mode. There's really not a lot to say about that match, though. Theory won, which is cool.
A-Town like, down.
A-Town down, right?
Yeah, H-Town down.
What was as far as that first night, what was my favorite match first night?
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't know if we want to do night one and night two, just take it piece by piece, or if you just, you know, what was your favorite three things from WrestleMania combined? Like, what was your favorite three things?
Overall?
Yeah.
And
then what was the three things you hated the most?
One's going to be real basic. One easy one that I can put out there because I'm not going to try to do these in order is Owens and Zayn winning the tag titles. That match was great. The match with the Usos was great. The outcome was great. Sami Zayn is just the facial expressions on this guy. I mean, give him an Academy Award, man.
Yeah.
When he gets in to do those Helluva kicks, the fact that they changed each time, he could have easily just ran and did them. The first one he does, he stops. He kind of stoically looks at Jay, and then you see that little crook of a smile, and he's just like, "You did this, Us. Like, you brought this on yourself." He comes back, he does a couple more. The third one, when you see the just like the relaxation of like, we got it, we're gonna win, we're gonna do this. It was so good.
Yeah.
So I love that whole match and everything that happened with that. Man, I almost hate to say it just because I'm not a huge fan of one half of the competitors in this match, but I've never denied that she's a great wrestler. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair was very close to being like match of the weekend there for a while. It was an incredible match.
It was good.
Went almost as long as the tag title match. Yes, mm-hmm. I mean, for the SmackDown Women's title, it was just so good. They beat the hell out of each other. One of the best women's matches WWE's ever put on. And it didn't need like a lot of gimmicky stuff. It didn't need anything. It was just
one-on-one.
Two of the best women's wrestlers beating the hell out of each other for a very long time. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And in that exact same vein, to pick another match, it's going to be one that I know is going to be on your list too. Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. Legitimately, not just the best Chef's Intercontinental kiss. Title match I've ever seen, but one of the best matches I've ever seen, especially triple threats.
Yeah.
It was awesome to the point that my wife was legitimately beside me on the couch going, I'm worried about these guys. Like, that's going to hurt. I'm like, it hurts now.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt. It currently hurts. They are hurting.
It is in the process of hurting. I watched it. I showed it to my coworkers at the office. And one of them, she said, like, I mean, it's not real though, right? And I went to the Jumbotron and I pulled out my pointer and I pointed at Sheamus's chest. And I said, you know, he's not wearing a mood chest.
Well, it's not real about that.
It doesn't change color as he, you know, that's pain is what that is.
He doesn't have a fake rubber chest.
No, he got painted with pain. My list is very, very similar.
What'd you like? I want to hear what you liked before we talk about what we didn't like.
The triple threat match is potentially my favorite wrestling match of all time. I mean that sincerely. It was everything I want in a wrestling match. It was three believable badasses beating the shit out of each other for a title that means everything. If you had the added stuff with Sheamus and Drew, you know, now that they're kind of buddies, and the look of the look of defeat on Sheamus's face when Drew stopped him from winning. The hits were hard. It made sense. It looked realistic. This is the kind of wrestling that I like, and this is the kind of wrestling I aspire to do. If you go back and watch my match with Osby, or if you can somehow find a video of my match with Trent Daniels last year, this is the kind of stuff that we do. It is the hard-hitting stuff. Yep. It's that strong style. It's just beating the tar out of each other. It also didn't need any unnecessary bullshit. It didn't have any interference. It was just a fight. They made you believe that they wanted to win that title so badly. Number two would also be Rhea and Charlotte. I sometimes forget how good Charlotte is. She really is the total package. She's got the looks. She's got the talent. She's crisp in everything she does. It's easy to dismiss her because she's been so dominant for so long. And Roman, being dominant for too long makes you boring. So,
little preview there. Not to go on too much of a tangent, but has just always just been, there's just not a lot there in terms of a character. Not everybody needs a big gimmick or whatever, but I feel like the best work she ever did was when she had Rick at her side, and it was the continuing legacy, the dynasty, and all that. by the time they got her away from him, it kind of just felt like, okay, well, what do you have? I mean, you're a great wrestler, but that'll only get you so far. And I don't think she's ever been great at promos. She's good, but she's not great.
No, she's
again, and like you said, she's just been around forever.
She's not her father, that's for sure, when it comes to promos. But yeah, you know, sure. I love her look. She's gorgeous, she's blonde, she's in perfect shape. She's everything about her presentation, hailing from the Queen City. I mean, all of that is just good. It's good stuff. And then you have Rhea Ripley on the other hand, kind of the polar opposite of it, where, you know, the gothic look, the darkness and all that, they mesh so well together, and they had one of the most brutal matches I've ever seen, especially in the women's.
Dude, one thing I really wish they would lean on with her, by the way, I should have mentioned this at the time, is when they do their, like, the comparison packages. I mean, WWE puts together great video packages. We've said that a million times. But you see Rhea before she started that kind of transformation, and she looked a lot like Charlotte. Like, when they first came up in NXT together.
Pretty blonde girl, yeah.
And I really wish they had kind of shown that, like, slow, because they did show, like, her kind of evolution a little bit, but that comparison of, like, even her using that as part of the feud of saying, like, people always said I was going to be the next Charlotte Flair, and I'm like, fuck that, I'm going to be the first Rhea Ripley. Like, I don't want to be you, I want to be me.
Rhea Ripley's pay pig, if I remember correctly.
No, that's you.
That's me.
Yes.
Although, well, I think at this point I'm like tapioca chicken or golden froth or something. I don't know.
That seems right.
The third thing that I really liked over this show was probably, and there's a lot of things I liked on this show for the record, but it was probably Shane McMahon hurting himself. Not that it's funny that anybody hurts themselves. It's not funny when anybody hurts themselves.
It's funny.
No, funny. Injuries aren't fun. I mean,
it was funny. Look,
I don't know how to describe this without sounding mean.
I don't love that somebody got hurt in sense that Shane never he never hurt me in any way.
He's never done anything. Right.
No.
But he's never raped anybody like his dad.
Right.
Yeah.
in the same way that watching Lex Luger break his ankle is funny. Now, again, in retrospect, just the physical act of it, if you can take out the fact that that's a human being and they're in pain, the physical act of it was fucking funny. He does a leapfrog. He comes back down. The way he tries to stand on that leg when he gets back up, I'm sorry, man, it's funny. It's hard not to laugh watching it.
It was hard not to laugh watching it, and my favorite part about it is the fact that they then pretended Shane McMahon didn't exist. They didn't say his name for the rest of the thing. He was done.
He just disappeared.
He just disappeared. He went back to his home planet.
Man.
Yeah, the fact that there was this huge Shane O'Mac, he comes out, he looks gassed immediately before he does anything.
He was gassed immediately.
And then hurts himself 20 seconds later, and like, oh my god, it's
famous McMahon quads. And I called it. I said he tore his quad. I know he did, and sure enough, they're like, yeah, tore his quad.
For the record, it's not funny, but it's also fucking hilarious. So
I feel like Chris Rock, like, I don't condone it, but I get it.
I get it.
I'm not okay with it, but I get it.
I was certainly laughing about it. And I remember I posted on Facebook. I posted, you know, short of anything insane happening tonight.
I remember.
Yeah. Fucking Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler winning is the worst thing that happened during WrestleMania weekend. Boy, did I had no idea what was coming up during that show. Clearly, I wasn't in on the writing team or God's plan, you know, obviously.
I do also, before we move on from the good stuff, from the good stuff, I want to give an honorable mention to the Rey and Dominic match.
Oh, fantastic. Because while
it wouldn't make my top three, it was a great match. It feels perfect for honorable mention. Not that Rey has, like, made any big improvement. It's Rey Mysterio. It's Rey fucking Mysterio. He's always been great.
Yeah.
But Dominic Mysterio, who we just recently talked about being, again, among the most improved people in the company, comes out and puts on a great match with his dad, fits this little character that he's put together perfectly. The entrance with the getting out of the back of the paddy wagon with the mask on and taking the cuffs off and everything, it was so good.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, you know, like I said on the preview show last week, man, the only thing I would rather see is him like fully embrace, I'm going to be Dominic Guerrero, and we get a lowrider. We got a lowrider anyway with Snoop Dogg in it, no less.
Yeah.
You know, it was Ray coming out in it, but it's I don't know. It was a good match. It was a good angle. Michael Cole was some of the all-time greatest calls he's ever made. I don't know if you've seen the video of Cole calling when Ray takes the belt and just starts whipping Dominic.
Yeah.
But he literally stands up at the announce desk and is just like shouting about how happy he is to see Ray finally get, you know, or Dominic finally get his comeuppance.
Well, you can forget about Michael Cole being happy about anything for the next however long till Vince McMahon dies, but we'll get to that here in a little bit.
I know.
Also,
the only thing marring that match, by the way, was the fact that it was brought to you by Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and they would not let you forget about it.
No, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch is delicious. It's my favorite cereal, so I can forgive that.
It is a great cereal, and apparently it's the cereal that would like to sponsor beating your kids.
Yes, well, like, some kids need to be beaten. Do yourself a favor. I don't know if you've looked into this, but speaking of Guerreros and kids, do not look into the situation involving Vicky Guerrero right now.
Jalen and now Shaw got involved too.
And Chavo.
There's two of the daughters involved. Oh, shit. I didn't see Chavo was in there.
Yeah, Chavo stirred. Chavo is standing firmly with the daughter. So it ain't looking good for Vicky. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. That's a... That's a whole other thing. The things I didn't like about WrestleMania, and by the way, you know, we kind of talked about at the beginning. If night one had been WrestleMania, it may have been my favorite WrestleMania of all time.
Among the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, night two happened. And night two is really when it went off the rails. The things I hated about WrestleMania this year, three things that I absolutely, you know, hated. First off would be Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. What a lazy... You got Ronda and Shayna in the match. They don't do shit the entire match. And then literally Ronda's entire part is she comes out, she spends 30 seconds, 20 seconds taunting and 10 seconds putting on the armbar, and that's it. Good job. Here's your fucking pay. Well worth the pay for Ronda fucking Rousey here.
Even Natty and Shotzi were more over in that match than they had any right being. They were very much the, like, we'll put an extra team in there. They're kind of random. But Natty putting that double sharpshooter on, the crowd went ballistic. They went crazy. They were super into it. Liv and Raquel, who then had a much better outing on Raw, but we'll get to that later, they would have been a great choice to win. Again, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville would have been a great choice to win. Instead of having that tag team dissolve immediately, which, by the way, we still have no follow-up on because, of course, they didn't appear on Raw.
No.
Instead of having that dissolution right then and there, have them win. Have them win the showcase match and still have, like...
Well, no, they gotta keep Ronda and Shayna strong.
Well, it's the old big dog, little dog thing. Chelsea's running around, like, way too excited. You know, what are we going to do today, Spike? We're best friends, ain't we? And Sonya's like, yeah, shut up. We won. Anyway, that would have been great. But instead, you got Rousey and Baszler. And boy, actually, if there's something I really hated coming out of this, it's not just that they won. It's that the people who were defending it were saying, well, they couldn't be involved in the match too much because one of them is injured. Then why the fuck are they in the match in the first place?
This nothing.
Put anybody else in there.
This nothing match that, as we saw on Monday Night Raw, literally meant nothing.
Meant nothing.
Nothing.
You know where the feud has continued? On Twitter. Because after Liv and Raquel won the number one contenders match for the women's tag titles on Raw, Shayna Baszler apparently tweeted at them, looks like we have number two contenders. Because I guess she thinks she and Ronda are number one contenders because they won this match. Which I guess, to be fair, follows the logic that the Street Profits won the men's showcase match and they got a tag title match.
Yeah, well they are. They are, to be fair, Shayna and Ronda are the number one contenders. They are the number one contenders for pissing me off. And... And they've won that title.
I'll be damned if I'm going to have them come in here.
No, Steven. The second thing that I hated at WrestleMania this year was the Pat McAfee thing. I don't even dislike Pat McAfee for the record. Like I think McAfee's fine. He's fine.
I think he's annoying as hell. He's a good enough wrestler, but he's super annoying.
I also find him annoying, to be fair. But like he clearly loves the business. He loves wrestling. He's good at it. Cool, whatever. But just the whole segment, actually all the segments with Miz and Snoop. I liked Miz and Snoop together, but everything that they did, like when he's getting dressed, it was bad. And the Pat McAfee thing was just whatever. I mean, only made worse by the Shane stuff, but at least the Shane stuff was funny because he got hurt.
Right, and then you had the People's El Bizzle. You know, he did the
puppy's elbow.
Snoop with the worst run of the ropes you've ever seen in your life, and yet it's still great. Like, he ran to the ropes and then just, like, casually leaned back on him because I think he figured out pretty quickly, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. So, running ropes is a lot harder than it seems. You see it in wrestling and you go, oh, it's not that bad. You just run back and forth. No. As someone that's ran the ropes and fucked it up, it's not as easy as it looks.
His elbow was pretty good. I'll give him credit for that. At least the jump and the elbow deliver was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good because he completely ignored the Miz's safety and just fucking drove his elbow straight into his sternum.
I also like when he like had to do the old rock thing of figuring out he didn't have any elbow pads, so he had to throw his sunglasses. But you can tell that Snoop didn't want to give those sunglasses away.
No, because
he kind of like tries to throw them not too hard.
The moment he took those glasses off, he went from doggy style to like the dog that's about to be put down at the pound because he's too old.
Yeah.
He went from too high. He went from 35 to 70 immediately. Age-wise, as soon as it's the Hulk Hogan thing, man. If you see Hulk Hogan with his glasses on, you're like, hey, Hulkster. Oh, he takes those glasses off, though, and you're like, well, goddamn, Father Time. Well,
especially without the headband.
Oh, my
God. You take that thing off, and you're worried he's just going to crumble into dust like he's in Indiana Jones.
So yeah, those are the things, the three things. Did I say a third thing? Well, the third thing is Cody. The third thing is Cody Rhodes, but we'll get to that. What about you?
Yeah, that's going to get its own thing. I would probably pick a lot of the same stuff. If there's something else worth noting here, man, I didn't like the Hell in a Cell match, but I'm trying to give that credit because, again, Balor split his freaking head open.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? Finn Balor had literally a split, right? And it was funny. My wife, who knows anatomy very well, we'll put it that way, when we noted that, like, okay, he's hurt because they got this tight shot on Edge, they're not going back to Balor, you can hear the booing, the ref's got the gloves, there's blood on the mat, something's going on. Sarah goes, I think he's got a scalp wound. And I was like, what does that mean? And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure he, not just like where you can see where the ladder hit him, but like a scalp wound would bleed the way that it is, like the kind of bleeding that's happening right now. It's not like an arterial spray or anything. And I shit you not, 2 hours later, what do I see? Yeah, Finn Balor suffered a scalp wound. And they stapled his freaking head right in the ring. So I give him credit there. But again, the demon thing didn't work very well, I don't think. That was a weird deal. I remember mentioning that him with the like the little smoke thing, since it wasn't really dark enough out. It's the same problem they had with Bray Wyatt years ago.
Yeah.
It looked like he was workshopping a routine for Burning Man or Coachella. It was
pretty embarrassing. Well, what about Brood Edge?
It just didn't feel like the demon. Yeah, and then Brood. What was that?
What about Brood Edge? Like, not coming out to the Brood's music. No Gangrel. Obviously, no Christian.
He comes out to Slayer.
Yeah.
And again, Slayer's a great. That tune, South of Heaven, I think, is a great fucking tune. But it was just a weird choice.
The fact like, that
Brood Edge. Yeah, Gangrel wasn't there. No Christian.
They literally had Brood Edge on the Tron.
That's so dumb.
Why would you call yourself Brood Edge?
There's no fire. He came up through the stage, if I remember correctly, but there's no fire. Like it just was none of the stuff that I expected from that.
Sweet ass mirror mask he had on, though. He looked badass.
And he had a sweet coat. Like I dig the trench coat.
With the brood on it. That's the brood part. It had a picture of the brood. That's it.
People were really excited about the Hell in a Cell going back to being gray and not red, and I thought, I don't give a shit what color the cell is, if I'm being honest with you.
No,
I just want a good match.
You only cared about what color the weapons were, because they were color-coded. They were red and purple, depending on who
that was weird, too. There were handholds cut into the cell, which I assume, I guess they were going to use, but then they didn't, because again, Balor got hurt and they couldn't do that.
Right.
Or maybe they were just a misdirection of like, oh, you think they're going to. But basically, this was a TLC match inside Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
The wrong guy won. Yep. I love Edge. Edge is in my top five wrestlers of all time. I've said it several times.
He's won every match.
He was number one.
He's won every match.
To what end? Is Edge going to challenge for the fucking title again? Is he gonna win the Royal Rumble again?
Here's my irritation with this.
What is the point?
I'm really irritated with the Cody Rhodes thing, and that's the thing I want to talk about the most. But I do want to mention this because I was thinking about it. The whole point of Edge coming back 6 times now against the Judgment Day is he's going to destroy the Judgment Day because he built it. Doesn't change a
and
fucking thing.
Happened.
He's beaten Balor and Judgment Day multiple. And then they just continue the next one. They came back out on Raw and beat up Bad Bunny and Ray. Like, oh my God, what was the
point? Where was Edge then? Where was he? Now, to be fair, Raw had its own set of issues, and that might be part of the problem there. But we'll get there.
That's the my biggest takeaway from WrestleMania was all the things that they said they were building towards, they didn't. Triple H, you fucking shyster, you liar, saying, oh, we're telling the story doesn't end. The next chapter, no, stories do end, man. Stories do end.
They have to. That's how they have relevancy. They have to end at some point. They can evolve and become new things. But
and new characters.
We have a new chapter eventually, if the chapters never end, I'm going to put the book down because I'm going to get bored.
Right.
And that's, I mean, again, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Even Star Wars got rid of Palpatine eventually. Yeah, they brought him back, and it was bullshit then. But like,
right, because the answer was somehow he returned. Right,
but you say that the story continues, but Edge is going to put an end to the Judgment Day. He didn't. The bloodline's going to fall apart. Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Edge and Balor should have had, there should have been a million people involved in that match. And I know that everybody else, like in the Judgment Day, had other matches other than Priest, but he was out there with Dominic. That's all well and good. But you had Edge on his own. No Beth Phoenix, no Gangrel. I know now, obviously, we were not going to get Christian because he's still with AEW. But
right.
Nothing to tie him to that.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, they had Russell fucking Crowe introducing the match,
which
but
was
then
great.
Nothing happens. It was cool, but it was weird. It was a baffling choice. Before we get into the main thing that both of us hated, obviously,
yes.
I do think it is briefly worth noting. I did not hate the six women tag match on the first night.
I didn't either. Trish Stratus was there. Yeah.
I didn't hate it, but I did hate that once again, it kind of feels like what just happened with Judgment Day too. Why am I supposed to be afraid of Damage Control? Why am I supposed to be worried about them?
Well,
they lose every match they're ever in. They're super ineffectual. They never get anything done.
You might not have
the women's tag titles were The women's tag titles were tied up in that match, and even nothing happened there. The tag team champions won the match. The team that had them on it won the match. So nothing comes out of that. And then they still get a tag title attempt or a shot, basically.
Yeah.
You know, a shot to become the number one contenders on Monday. And they lost that too.
And for the record, all of us naysayers and us doomsayers that are saying, oh, the end of the world now that Vince is back, just look how Damage Control has been booked since Triple H brought them in. Like, they've always sucked. Yeah. They've never been viable. So
they won the tag titles and they had them for a while. And they, you know, they cheated to win or whatever. And then there were a few times that like they and or Bayley would show up and ruin somebody's day. Like Becky's promo on Monday last week was very much about, you guys have been coming in and trying to ruin my day and all this, and I'm sick of it. I thought we were done with this. We're going to be done with it. Okay, then be done with it. But are they really that big a problem for you? You're the fucking women's tag team champion.
Yeah.
Like, are they really causing that big an issue for you? It just doesn't make sense.
No, it didn't make any sense. And it was a pretty good match. I'm more upset that Trish stayed in her top. I was upset about that. No, I kid. I literally said when I saw Trish come out, because Trish, it's no secret, Trish is my favorite female wrestler of all time. I think she's amazing. I love Trish Stratus. When she came out, my first thought was, she's not going to wrestle in that top. There's no way. That is dangerous.
It's also what my wife said.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, by the way, until today or yesterday that it was I don't know why it never dawned on me. It was a throwback to her year from WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
Which, so what I had seen was like, man, shout out to only Trish Stratus would throw back to herself, would pay homage to herself.
Yeah.
Well, it works.
She can do that. That makes sense. She's Trish fucking Stratus. Absolutely. But let's not,
but
let's,
the thing we hated
let's
the most,
not dance around the subject
let's not
anymore.
Around the bush
let's
here.
Not do
yeah,
that.
Let's
no.
not. Let's just jump into it. Let's just jump into it.
And
I think Asuka should have won. No.
It's infuriating. No. That is another thing I really love this year, though, was Bianca. I've turned on Bianca Belair so much. I love her. I love everything she does. I think she's great. I thought her entrance was tear-jerking, especially when you found out. Yeah. You heard about that girl's mother, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. About her mom passing away and she didn't want to let her friends down.
Oh, my God. That is so fucking heartbreaking.
The only thing about that match is that I still kind of hate that it had to be Asuka. Asuka is 0-5 at WrestleMania now. That's insane. Yeah. That makes no sense to me.
Right.
But it is what it is. I still think, to me anyway, it's Asuka. She's bulletproof. Like,
she can always
come back from anything that happens.
Yeah. The people that love, you know, Asuka and the people that love Japanese women and wrestling and all that stuff are going to love her no matter what and say she's the greatest thing of all time. I like Asuka just fine. But I think Bianca winning was the right call. I think Bianca's a stronger champion.
Yeah.
I was fine with that. But the thing that I was absolutely not fine with, and it's the thing that you and I think both hate, and boy, we hated it that night too. The self-destruction, not the self-destruction, he didn't do it to himself. The destruction of Cody Rhodes over the course of a week to go from the picture-perfect babyface to beat Roman Reigns, talking about the destiny and his father's legacy and all that shit.
Finish the story. We have to finish the story.
And then you get to WrestleMania, and just the match was good. It's good. It's Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. Of course, they're going to put on a good match.
Yes, absolutely.
The irritating, and there was some cool stuff out there. Brandy was in the front row.
Sure.
Brody Lee's son was there.
Oh my God, -1. Yeah. Which, he gave him his weight belt.
Whoa, can you do that? Can you have an AEW star on WWE TV like that? That's
unmasked,
the forbidden door.
No less.
Yeah.
And unmasked. He didn't walk through the forbidden door. He kicked it down.
And they flat out said who it was too. So that was very cool. That was very cool of them. But, you know, then you get the match. It's a good match. You knew the shenanigans were going to happen. Solo Sikoa got kicked out very early on for interfering, mm-hmm. which he should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a good thing.
Yes.
Solo got kicked out.
That was it.
And he's out. Yeah. But what didn't make any sense was after you had the shenanigans with...
Don't forget, you got the Usos. The Usos that's what I was saying. The new tag champions to counter them. That was great. Like, you expected that to be the case.
It makes sense. Solo's gone. The Usos are gone. And now it's just Roman and Cody.
No one left.
And I'm like, all right, finish the story. Here we go. And then the balls on these motherfuckers to have Paul Heyman jump up and then Solo just come out and interfere anyway
and cost
Cody the match.
He just comes back.
It's fine. There's
it's no big deal.
There's no repercussions. And if you watch Raw, there were still no repercussions. No.
Why?
I'm going to lose my shit here.
When Paul Heyman jumped up on the apron, my brain went, okay, here are the beats that are coming. And not in a way like, oh God, here we go again. But I, as a, you know, oh my God, how long have I been watching wrestling? I'm 38. So 22 years as a 22 year wrestling fan. I'm watching this going, okay, here are all the beats. Solo gets kicked out after cheating a couple of times. Cody's still kicking out. The new tag champions come out to counter the Usos. We got that. Paul Heyman jumps up. Roman's going to do something behind his back. It's going to be another false finish, or it's going to come back to bite him in the ass, and Cody's going to use that to win. Nope. Solo shows up, spikes into the throat, 1, 2, 3, call it a day.
Yeah.
And I remember when the bell rang, like, I first of all, I gasped audibly, and not in a good way, not in a like, oh, wow, I can't believe they did that. It was, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And I said to Sarah out loud, because she, of course, had stayed up way too late to watch this. She's never up that late, and goes, they didn't really just do that. She hit me with the Booker T. Tell me they didn't just do that. And I was like, okay, so here's what's going to happen. Solo was kicked out of the match. The referee's going to notice that he's there at ringside. Somebody's going to restart the match, whether it's Triple H or whoever, and Cody's going to win once they get everybody out from ringside.
Nope.
Because that's a dusty finish.
Yeah.
The thing that they would have done to do that, to restart the match after an invalid finish, is literally called a dusty finish.
But Hunter,
dusty fucking roads.
But Hunter, that's not what they did. It just ended. And not only did it just end. with the bloodline fucking strong again, but the added visual of Cody Rhodes beaten in the ring with a rubber chicken next to him.
Because people started throwing, I love that. If anything that ended up, it was a rubber chicken, by the way. I do not in any way condone people throwing shit in the ring. It's not 1996 WCW anymore.
Oh, God.
But the visual of him laying there and the fucking rubber chicken beside him.
Oh, man.
Will be burned into my brain for a while.
Now, before we get into what happened on Raw, because it does carry over and it is important mentioning it. I don't care, and we've talked about this, I don't give a shit what Triple H says. I don't give a shit what people say about the story continuing and all that, and Cody's going to win it. They're building him up to be an even better champion when he wins. You had the picture-perfect fucking moment to pull the trigger on Cody Rhodes. This would have made him a legend, and he looks like a fucking chump.
A million hot takes about, okay, Cody, and I'm just going to lay it out the way it's been laid out to me. Cody's story got interrupted because he was injured, right? He did the Hell in a Cell match, but he took so much time off. So really, like, the second phase of his evolution got interrupted. So when he came back and won the Rumble, you know, they really weren't ready to do it here. So they built him up, but this is the first match they've ever had, right? First match that Roman and Cody have ever had. You know, Cody couldn't do it this time, but he's going to get it at SummerSlam. And it'll be, oh, because Roman needs to pass 1,000 days, and then he'll be, you know, 1,000-day champion or whatever. Or he's going to get it when they go to Madison Square Garden, because that's where his dad won the NWA title. I think it was the only world title he ever held, if I remember correctly. So he's going to do it there, and that'll be the big deal. It'll be at Madison Square Garden. I don't care.
Number one, I don't
give a shit about numbers on title. I don't care.
Nope.
I don't know why WWE is so obsessed with how long people have held. I don't give a shit.
They're not
As a
really.
Fan, I am never watching it going. They're not real.
They're not real.
It's not a real thing.
Dude's not really winning matches.
You told him he could have it for that long.
Yeah.
Yes, this isn't
arbitrary.
Evander Holyfield holding the fucking title because he actually beat people up for years at a time. It's I just pulled a name, by the way. I have no idea what Holyfield's record was.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's Evander Holyfield. Yeah.
Right. But the point is, I don't give a shit about numbers and titles, so I don't care about Roman winning 1,000, you know, having it for 1,000 days. But let's just say that I do, okay? I also don't care if Cody wins the title at SummerSlam or at Madison Square Garden. I cared Sunday night.
The bloom's off
Sunday
the rose.
Sunday night. Yes, Sunday night they had convinced me. When Cody came back last year at WrestleMania, I was like, oh, shit, that's cool. Like, that's cool they got him back. That was exactly as invested as I was.
Yep.
I thought it was dope that they got his music and his entrance and all of that. I thought it was going to be interesting to see, you know, what a guy who left WWE and really made a name for himself, including starting what is now the second major promotion in the world, basically, definitely in the Americas, come back to WWE and see what they would do with him. And then, you know, Triple H took over, and I thought, oh shit, this guy's got a chance. Even though, you know, you would think the two of them would hate each other the most, him smashing the hammer, the throne with the hammer and all that. But the build started. He won the Rumble, and we went, okay, can he do it? Is this the time? And then they started building toward WrestleMania. And I mean,
it was a good build.
People who were defending Roman winning, they're going to say, well, that's exactly what they meant to do. They worked you. They made you think he was going to win, and then he didn't. And that's good shit. That's good storytelling.
It's not.
It could be. It could be in another life and in another time. But this wasn't the time. This isn't it. This was the time for Cody Rhodes to win the motherfucking title.
If they had done it any other way than the most basic bullshit that they have pulled every single pay-per-view for the past 3 years. And the people online that
Special happened at the end of that match.
No, it was the same. It was the same interference Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, the finish to if between Cody winning the Rumble and WrestleMania, Cody had convinced, he had pissed Roman off so much that he convinced him to give him a title shot before WrestleMania. And he'd been like, let's just do it tonight, right here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or where the fuck ever they are for Raw. And that match had ended that way on Raw, I would have totally expected it. That's exactly what I would have expected to happen on a televised, just weekly show.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, that's how you end the show.
And all the things that Triple H says about, you know, we're not making TikToks, we're serving filet mignonics, all that. You're not, though. You're serving the same tired story.
Yep.
Every good story has an ending, like we said earlier. This was the perfect ending. You cannot drag the story out longer just because you can. Like, every good villain has to be defeated eventually. And the more you drag it out, the less invested I become, and I'm sure a lot of people are becoming. Yes. And for all the people that are like, well, they're building up Roman, like you said, to get that 1,000-day victory.
Who cares?
What does it do more? Does it make Roman look stronger for having 1,000 days as champion, more so than he is right now, where he's already been built as a god? Or does it make Cody Rhodes look like a fucking chump? Because he got beat the same way everyone gets beat at WrestleMania and then left him in the ring with a fucking rubber chicken.
He's the only organic babyface at that level. The only guy in that company right now who is legitimately just consistently
Other than Sammy.
There's no...
And they already didn't do that.
A whole other thing, and I'm coming back to that in a second. But they did a whole separate thing with him. Cody's the only one who is... There's no tweener edge or whatever. I mean, he is the babyface. He's got the family story. And you beat him. You beat him. Why do I even want to see it? In fact, Monday, when he called for a rematch, you knew he wasn't going to get it. And you kind of looked at him and you went, well, why would you get it?
Right.
You lost the match. I mean, yes, you lost it through bullshit, but like, why would you get a rematch? You didn't lose the title that way. If he had come in as champion, that'd be a different story.
If you're telling stories, if you're telling the story and this is the story and it's filet mignon and all that, tell a better story. Why has none of these baby faces who have lost to this heel champion who has cheated consistently, why has there been no punishment? Why has there been no consequence? And no one's even called it out. No one's even called it out.
This just occurred to me. This just occurred to me. Chelsea Green, every single televised episode of Raw and SmackDown, goes to Adam Pearce and complains about something. That's kind of her gimmick right now, right? Yeah. I love the idea that she and Sonya are called the complaint department, by the way. That's great. That's her gimmick. So there is an authority figure who has the ability to make changes based on things that are happening in the show.
Yes.
Instead of Cody Rhodes going out to Roman Reigns in the ring on Raw and saying, give me a title shot, and him and Heyman saying, no, never, not here, not now, not ever, at any point in time, we're never going to do that. Why does Cody not then just go to Adam Pearce and go,
hey, did you see what happened?
he cheated.
He cheated again.
Give me a rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not as heroic and babyface-esque as it is for him to go right to the champion and go, okay, I had you beat, and you know I had you beat, so give me another match, and I'm going to actually beat you.
Well,
the logic is non-existent.
It shouldn't have been a thing.
The logic is not sound.
Adam Pearce should have come out on his own and said, I saw what happened at WrestleMania.
Yes.
This is ridiculous. Roman, he's getting
you
a rematch.
You were kicked out from ringside.
Right.
Yes. Solo was kicked out. I mean, again, the dusty finish. It's in the name. It was right there.
Hunter, it is Star Wars. It is Star Wars because the same way they brought back Palpatine of he just came back is the same logic they have for everything Roman Reigns does. He just does. And there's no punishment for it. There's no repercussion. It's bad. It's bad storytelling. And you fucked up the organic victory that could have capped off a great WrestleMania. It's fucking terrible.
It's so much worse because they got it right on night one. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn won the tag titles from the Usos. That was supposed to be the chink in the armor. Okay. The Bloodline has now lost a major part of what makes them the Bloodline. They lost the Universal Tag Team titles or whatever they're calling them. The Unified Tag Team Championships. That was supposed to be the herald for here's where it's going down.
Nothing.
I get that the internal logic of WWE, I know it was. No one will convince me otherwise. The internal logic was we're going to swerve him because now they're expecting him to win. So we're not going to have him win, and that'll be the big surprise, and they'll love that more than they would love knowing what's going to happen. But again, we've talked so much about the outcome for Cody. Think of what the outcome now looks like for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Do you not feel like their victory is a little hollow?
Yeah, because it changed nothing.
They got the belts. Right, they come out on Raw, they got the belts, and they're super excited. But I remember thinking, but the Bloodline's still here. We just saw them.
Yeah, you didn't beat
anybody. Don't get me wrong, there was that great little throwaway line from Heyman about saying, hey, get on the jet, the seafood's ready, and then as he walks back in the room going, I took care of it, you know, sending them away. I'm sure that's going to lead to something 3 years from now. But in the moment, 20 minutes later, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come out to celebrate their tag title win. And I go, okay, you got the belts, but you didn't do what you set out to do.
Right. And then they defend against the Street Profits.
Right. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, both of them, their thing was never, we want the tag team titles.
They want to take down
the Bloodline.
Right.
Well, you didn't do that.
No.
Because you've got their belts, but they're still, I mean, maybe you put a chink in the armor, but you didn't beat them.
And now it doesn't matter because now they're moving away from the Bloodline.
Yes.
All right. So so we're pissed off. It sucked. It was left. I've never gone to bed angry at wrestling before. Legitimately. I've been irritated.
Oh, yeah. I woke up the next day like, why am I still mad about this?
Dude, I was so...
I'm still mad about this.
I went and watched Barbarian because, like I told you, I just had to get my mind off of it. I had to stop
thinking. Some kind of palate cleanse.
I was so pissed about it. I've never been that mad at wrestling before. And someone out there, some fucking goof, is going to go, yeah, see, they got you. No, that's not what it is.
No.
Pissing somebody off is not the goal when it comes to, like, selling people on things. I don't want to watch WWE at this point because they fucked around too long and are going to find out.
I have watched great heels and afterward been like, man, they're doing such a good job. That's exactly what I wanted. That's what I wanted, that reaction. I didn't want this reaction.
No,
I got a negative reaction to what I watched. And I remember us, and I know where you're going with this, so I'm going to tag this right in there. I remember us in the wake of that show going, boy, night two felt like a Vince show. That felt like every other WrestleMania that we've seen for, the past 10 years plus. Especially in that time, once Roman Reigns came up and they kind of did.
They should have known when Shane came
shocking
out.
Shocking endings and all that. Yeah, when Shane showed up, of all people.
That's when I knew something was wrong.
Well, I mean, okay, there were a lot of little breadcrumbs there that we also didn't talk about. Bobby Lashley comes out with the Andre the Giant trophy and just stands there and does nothing. You're in Los Angeles and we never see LA Knight, who is extremely organically over right now for a 40-year-old guy. There were a lot of little things that just, I'm just saying. there were a lot of little things that were like, this is weird, right? I mean, the matches are kind of like short or disjointed, and there's weird winners. Really, other than the triple threat for the Intercontinental title, everything else was kind of...
Yeah.
Well, and Bianca and Asuka, everything else was kind of like, what's happening here?
On?
Something's weird.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, it really feels like Triple H did night one, Vince did night two. Well, then the rumors start. Well, Vince was there. And he was near Gorilla, but he wasn't telling anyone what to do.
He wasn't in the weeds.
He was just offering... Well, yeah, he can't get in the weeds.
He can't
anymore.
Get in
he
the
can't
weeds.
Do that.
No,
not
it's
anymore.
Impossible, yeah.
But he was offering advice to anyone who would listen,
mm-hmm.
and some people who wouldn't, too. But he wasn't in control.
No.
And then the rumors start. And then Endeavor this company that owns UFC, basically a combat sports company, makes their bid, makes their play. It's been in the works for a while, and now we know Endeavor has purchased WWE. It is no longer a family-owned business, basically.
But
Vince is still in charge.
But Vince is in charge.
Vince McMahon, executive chairman, just like Dana White, is still in charge at UFC. Basically, Endeavor says, we're hands-off. We just want to bring these all under one. I mean, really, from a financial and logistical standpoint, literally nothing will change for you as a viewer. Right. No. Endeavor is still in the process of buying them. The stock market symbol is going to change. They're not going to be traded as WWE. They're going to be traded as TKO because they're part of the UFC branding and all that now with Endeavor. But again, Vince now officially has a part in the business, even more so than he did when he was back on the board. And
he's the chairman again.
Facilitate a sale.
He's the chairman.
Remember when he was helping to facilitate a sale?
That's the only reason he came back.
Like, okay, he's going to do that and then he's going to leave. Yeah. Right.
Just get his money and go.
Well, Monday Night Raw, Triple H comes out and tells us immediately, nothing's going to change.
Well, hold on.
Nothing's going to change.
But even you got to go back a little bit forward, because even before they did that, Nick Khan and Triple H did a speech to the locker room and to everybody saying, nothing's changing, I'm still in charge, et cetera, et cetera. But then he wasn't, because when he went out and he did his little speech and he went back, Vince is in Gorilla. Vince is calling the shots. Vince is all over the show. They rewrote it multiple times. And we'll get into all that next week, because I want to see what happens on Friday. I want to see what happens on Friday before we really lash out at this shit. But what I do want to mention from Raw, because we said we weren't going to go long. We're almost at an hour. Time flies when you're fucking pissed at that fucking rapist and his stupid fucking mask mustache bullshit. What did happen on Raw is Cody came out and I don't care at this point. Because the bloom is off the rose. Cody is now just another babyface. But they at least got me a little bit interested when they paired him up with Brock Lesnar. And I'm like, oh, okay, Cody and Lesnar are going against the Bloodline. I could get into this.
Well, it even sounded like a Triple H call at the very beginning, because Heyman pulls this thing of, you know, so Cody comes out, says, I had you beat. You know you owe me a rematch. And he says, when would you like it? Tonight. No, we're not doing that. In fact, we're not doing it tonight, not any other time, whatever. And Cody goes, okay, well, here's the thing then. I was fighting both of you anyway. I was fighting Roman and Solo anyway. Why don't we have a tag match? I just want to beat your asses. So give me something to work with. And Heyman goes, we could do something with that. So he consults with Roman and says, okay, we'll give you a tag match. But here's the deal. Your partner has to be somebody who fought at WrestleMania last night. And when this match is over, that person is no longer ever allowed to challenge for the titles while Reigns is champion. And they had me, because I could not think of who would agree to that. Because, you know, immediately my thoughts go to, okay, it's Seth Rollins, right? Maybe Seth Rollins is going to do this. Or maybe it's like some surprise guest star. Maybe Braun Breaker or somebody is coming up just for a one-off. That'd be kind of cool. And it's Lesnar. And the logic is there. This is why I say it felt like a Triple H call, because the logic is there. I had forgotten when Lesnar lost the SummerSlam match last year against Reigns, he's no longer allowed to challenge for the titles.
Right.
That's cool. That's a cool bit of continuity that pays off almost a year later. That's dope. So I'm into it. Like you said, he comes in, he scares him off. Cody and Lesnar are working together. It's weird, but I mean, we got Cowboy Brock. Like, he's having a good time. He's out there having fun, Maggle. Let's skip ahead to the main event. We don't need to talk about much else that happened.
No,
on Raw.
We don't need to talk about
a lot of shit happened on Raw that was annoying. Omos had to wrestle when he wasn't prepared to. We found out later. Women's matches got fucked all over. That was a total nightmare and a mess. Most of Raw was not great or particularly interesting. But I thought, okay, the main event will save it. We'll have this tag team match. Well. Would you like to tell people, Shannon, what happened?
For the record, when I did not get to watch the main event because I was...
Oh, I did.
I was at work, and I watched most of Raw at work, and then I got home. For some reason, I could not access the Spectrum network. I had some errors. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll watch it tomorrow. I'll watch clips of it. And then I saw you guys talking about it, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck happened? And I think we were on Call of Duty, and you told me what happened. So what happened?
Yeah.
Lesnar and Cody had a great tag match with Roman and Solo.
They did not.
That's not what happened.
That did not happen.
That's not what happened. No.
I glossed over it, but very briefly, Matt Riddle returned, which is fine, I guess. That was the biggest surprise, by the way, of anything.
There you go.
So in the main event, everybody gets set up for the match, and before it can start, Lesnar just grabs Cody and starts beating the shit out of him
for 10 minutes straight.
Roman for 10 minutes straight, Roman and Solo and Heyman go, we're going to let you guys talk. And they just leave. So the champion just leaves, does nothing. Lesnar absolutely demolishes Cody Rhodes and F5 on the steps in the ring and throws him around outside of the ring and just beats him until he's practically unconscious. Walks away, comes back out after Adam Pearce and everyone else has also come out and tried to stop him, rips off his gloves, throws up double birds toward the ring. And by the way, that's the final image of the Raw after WrestleMania, is Lesnar giving double birds to Cody Rhodes in the ring with no explanation as to why any of this ever happened.
Well, it's provocative. And look. I don't want to be too harsh, because Lesnar turning on Rhodes, if done right, could make sense. There could be a storyline of it. Lesnar could be pissed, saying, no, you left. You started this thing. I was here fighting. I can't fight for the title anymore, but you are going to. That's ridiculous. But they won't do that.
I'll say this. The best version of this that I have heard is the idea that Lesnar will eventually say most of what you said, but also include, if you had beaten him, then I could win the titles again, and you didn't. You fucked it up for everybody. Why do you think you get another shot now?
Right.
You're not the one to do it, and I'm pissed off that you even think you have the arrogance to think that you are. But they won't do that. I have no confidence that that's what's going to happen.
Right. But what did happen is 2 days in a row, Cody Rhodes was beaten to a pulp and made to look like an idiot.
Look like a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with Cody Rhodes now? I'm sure he's going to fight Lesnar, and logically... Yep. You would think he'll beat Lesnar and look like a conquering champion. I guarantee you he'll lose. Brock Lesnar.
That won't happen.
Because every time Vince McMahon gets in charge, he goes back to the well. Here comes Brock.
And he is in charge. Let's just call a spade, man. Triple H can say that he is in the head of creative control or whatever. But if at the very least, Vince McMahon is in his ear.
Vince McMahon. I guarantee you Vince McMahon is making all the calls. To the point that... You've already got people requesting their release. Apparently, Bayley may be done with WWE. That's the big rumor. It's not looking good. Word on the street is that some top talent said that if it goes the way it's going and Vince is back, like the way it looks like he's back, they're going to ask for their release. And now you've got Jay White, who was a shoe-in to become a new WWE star, just debuted on Dynamite. So...
I wonder if I meant to check. I wonder if FTR won the.
They did. No, tag title. I think it was a double pin from what I read. I don't know what that means, but
oh, that's weird.
But the weird thing is
because that was another one where it was rumored they were gonna go back. This is how they get out of their AEW deal. Why would they go back to WWE?
Why would they now? Same thing with Punk. Like
they're going to Tony Khan, going, hey, would you mind if we won the belts just like this 1 week, and then I mean we'll lose them next week. That's fine.
I'll owe you one.
I'll owe you one, pal.
So the momentum has completely swung the opposite direction. It went from WWE had so much momentum going into WrestleMania, and it wasn't perfect. Oh. There were things that WWE and Triple H did that I thought was bad. They made some poor choices, but the momentum was there. The goodwill was there. Everybody was. I was excited to be a WWE fan for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
And now it's just back to where it was a year ago. Vince McMahon's in charge. I'm dead inside. I don't want to watch WWE at this point. I will read the news hoping that Vince dies and that Triple H takes over. Maybe Vince's mustache, he'll choke on it. Or maybe he'll choke on...
The dye will like seep into his brain or something.
Maybe he'll creep up behind another female worker in the office and try to smell her hair and accidentally suck it down his throat and die.
I mean...
I don't know.
Can we just briefly... I know we got to get out of here, but can we just briefly talk about the idea that this man... Who, by the way, and you mentioned it last night, says that he owns up to every mistake.
He said he owns up to every mistake he ever made.
He owns up to, he doesn't act like he's never made mistakes. He has apologized and owned up to every mistake he's ever made. This guy.
That's what the money's for.
I don't think has ever denied that he did these things, right?
Like, no, he didn't.
He didn't act like he didn't do these, and he did them.
Yeah. He paid them off.
And he went from. That being why he was – the only reason he had any involvement still at WWE is because he was a majority stockholder. They can't take that away from him. That's publicly traded. He had the money to buy it. He got it. But he went from being basically busted down to that and having no position in the company to now being in a stronger position than he was when he was ousted the first time.
Yeah.
Because he's now executive chairman of the board.
Yeah.
He put his own people in there to protect him.
For
– he took a deal with a company that's going to protect him the same way right. they protected Dana White when he slapped his wife.
Right. But to be fair, Vince didn't slap his wife. Here's what Vince McMahon did. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are like yeah. celebrating that Vince is back. Oh, he's the OG. He's the original yeah. gangster when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
This is the original gangster that paid hush money to all these different women because he sexually assaulted them or made unwanted advances on them. The woman that accused mm-hmm. him of literal rape, he paid out of court to. This is a man that has done terrible things, and you're justifying
it. And company funding to do it.
Yes, and you're saying...
Let's importantly make mention of that.
But he is the OG of wrestling, so we'll give him a pass. Bullshit. If you support this man, you are just as fucking complacent in this as everybody else.
This is all the same stuff that a former sitting president was just indicted for by a grand jury.
Right.
Vince McMahon, on the other hand... is now running his company again. And oh, well, he sold it. Yeah, he sold it so he could make a shit ton of money and be back in charge again.
Which he did.
The best of both worlds.
Dude, Vince McMahon just won everything. This piece of fucking yes. shit. And we've been calling him a piece of shit for a long time.
The chessboard.
This isn't new for us. We're not jumping on a bandwagon. We've been saying this for a very long time. Vince McMahon is an awful person. Yeah. I was talking to someone yesterday that was trying to, was talking to me about Chris Benoit and saying that, well, because of what we know now, you know, put him back on TV, you know, not put him back on TV, but put his matches back on the air. Like, let's celebrate him because he was a wonderful wrestler. Being a wonderful wrestler does not change the fact that you murdered your family. Intelligent businessman and the father of modern day professional wrestling does not excuse the fact that you sexually assaulted and raped people, paid them off, and now you got away with it and made more money. It's disgusting. And how can you possibly support the WWE at this point?
And no part of me wants to diminish any of that, but for just a brief second to talk just about the business or about the shows, take that out of the equation. Vince McMahon is a 77-year-old man who has no friends outside of wrestling.
The worst die job in history.
We can tell about that. The thing I'm getting at is, this is a guy who has been out of touch for years. This is a guy who canceled gimmicks because he didn't get them, even though they were over with the audience. Do you think he's any more connected? Do you think he took a vacation over the past, you know, 12
months?
He
got his shit right.
Like 9 months.
He got his shit right.
And finally saw a couple of Marvel movies, so now he knows what's going on in the pop culture.
He knows what's going on.
No.
Which?
He doesn't know any of this shit any more than he did before. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Final thing I want to say before we get out of here, because I know a lot of people that are trying to be hopeful, and I get you're trying to be hopeful. They're pointing to the fact that, no, it's not Cody's story. It's Jay's story. They're coming back to Jay. They're not. Hunter, can you hit him with they're not? Can you hit him with that?
They're not.
They're not. Yeah. If they didn't.
Jey Uso is never, ever going to win.
He's not going to win. They're not going to put They're not going to put the fucking Universal title on Jey Uso. They didn't put it on Sami Zayn.
Triple H
they're not putting it on Jey Uso.
Vince sure as shit's not going to do it.
No,
there's no way.
The only logical options, I think, I hate to say, because I think there are three. There is Cody Rhodes, which I think is probably the most likely one. They'll put the title on Cody eventually. But at that point, it won't matter.
And they'll use it as a way of saying, see, they did it now. Yeah, okay, but it doesn't mean as much.
We beat that death earlier. Right. Randy Orton, because Orton hasn't fought Lesnar or fought Reigns. So, hey,
he did once, if I remember correctly. He was on that graphic of, because Rollins is the only one that actually won by DQ.
Right.
And Orton was in there somewhere. But Orton is like it would be the one last run of like he hasn't been around in a while. Right. And maybe this is the last time he gets to do this. But see, I think that's where Orton loses. He may come back full on babyface and go, you know what? I don't know how much more gas I got left in the tank. I may as well go big or go home. And then Reigns will beat him. Yeah. And it'll be the, you know, oh, look who killed the legend killer kind of thing.
I want to adapt that or change that to four because I forgot about Rollins. Rollins is probably also one of the more likely ones, but
he'd be another good one.
The one that I'm begging Vince McMahon to do. I am begging you to do this. Do this for me so I can quit wrestling forever. I'll sell CCW. I'll get rid of my Leonardo Finn Balor figure and all that.
Kill the LLC.
I'll kill the LLC. PZ85 LLC is gone. Bring back The Rock. Have The Rock come back and be the one to dethrone Roman Reigns because the elders sent him or the bones in their nose or something. I don't know. I don't know and I don't care. Point is, you fucked it up. You fucked up WrestleMania, and I don't care what anyone says. It was the bad call. I don't care if it was Vince or Triple H or Linda McMahon. I don't care who it was. It was a bad call.
It feels like a Vince call, and that's why I want to discuss it that way. But at the end of the day, you're right. I don't care who made it. It was a bad call regardless.
It was a bad call.
And whoever made it should be held accountable for it.
Yes. But and if that's Triple H,
the only way we can do that is with your wallet. Right. Stop watching.
And so we shall. And that's going to do it for us tonight.
So we shall.
That's where we cut it off. Tanner, you want to say anything before we get out of here? No, I think he's. I don't know if he's listening or what, but
he popped in earlier. Said he was going to pop in and listen.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's just been listening to us for a while.
I tried.
Although it says his headphones are muted, so I don't know how much listening.
I don't think he can hear us.
Actually, know.
I don't know what's going on. There. I think he's watching our lips move. I'm going to give a T to the camera so he knows we're talking about him. All right. That's going to do it for us. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with an all-new After Dark, hopefully with something more pleasant. This was a very infuriating show, like the old days. I remember back in the old days, back when I was, before I was on medication, when it was, you know, me and Asa and Dalton and Allie all around the table talking about wrestling, and I was so mad all the time, yelling and screaming and throwing things at Dalton specifically. That's what tonight reminded me of. I feel so mad. I want to put my goddamn thumb through his little eye, little bitch.
Just flip the board. I know it's nailed down, but just try. Give it a shot.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow on an all-new After Dark. Fuck WWE. Fuck Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, the weird-looking rapist. Weird, weird-looking fucker. Hunter, take us out.
Five Finger Death Punch is music for divorced McMahons.